Welcome, Pinto and Sean Bean patrons. Welcome to Extra Beans.
Willkommen.
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
nice.
Hello, Patreon subscriber. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. It means a lot to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much.
And for you, we have our extra episode. What a month it's been. What month was it? January.
Yeah. It was classic January, wasn't it? In a lot of ways. But also really unlike other Januaries and others.
A unique January.
Yeah.
But just much the same.
But quite similar in some ways. Mm. Real curate's egg of a January, hasn't it? I've got through another winter not buying a down coat.
Yeah, they're too warm.
Yeah. Well, every year I go, this is my down coat year. I'm going to buy a down coat. So for people that don't know, a down coat is a coat which has little compartments in it in which
live geese.
Live geese are shoved, isn't it?
Writhing around you.
They're writhing and the writhing creates warmth and no animal writhes. Faster than a goose.
The trapped goose.
No, an elf. Yeah, it rides with the same energy, except for snakes. But you try selling a snake-filled jacket. it's not gonna fly, is it? And neither of those geese ever again. But they, and you can get chicken ones as well, which are not quite as warm.
Sort of knockoff ones.
But you do get eggs, which pop out into your internal pocket every so often. You get a fresh egg. Presumably that's a bonus.
You get that with snakes as well. I just want to.
You do get that with snakes.
I don't want to write off snakes because I think you have, and it's not fair.
It's true.
Yeah, but it's quite a tart scramble, isn't it? It's all leathery.
It's a tart scramble, snake egg. It's a good gift for a nemesis.
Mm-hmm. They work well poached because they've got a sort of vinegar within them. So you don't have to worry about that.
A lethal vinegar. Yeah.
And they do create their own vortex as you lower them into the water. They're incredible.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, so poaching, it's a poacher's dream, isn't it?
Do you know what? I bought a down coat maybe 2 years ago from TK Maxx. I think it was fake down. It wasn't real down. But, like one of those big puffery things. I took it home and then I wore it outside for about 10 minutes. It was so hot that I just took it back straight away. It was.
Yeah.
We don't live in a country cold enough for those kind of coats, I would say.
The other thing is, the way I see it is this. I reckon there's about 7 to 10 days in the year in the UK where you might justify having one.
Yeah.
Is that enough for quite a hefty outlay to get a down coat? Because obviously those geese have to be, they're not cheap, are they?
Well, you've got to grease them.
You've got to
every year.
You've got to re-grease. And the re-greasing is a pain. And a lot of the time people can't be bothered. And then the geese dry out. And you've got crispy.
I mean, you get crispy writhing.
You get crispy writhing.
It's a fire hazard, isn't it?
Crispy writhing is a major.
So your coat's going to burst into flames, isn't it?
Yeah, and then you're too hot.
When you're on the 242 bus to Crediton. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's no good.
I have another garment question. Mm. So I bought this thing I'm wearing, which is, it's my first venture into the world of shackets.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's a nice
what is a shacket?
Nice piece.
Shirt jacket, like an overshirt thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got like, what's it called inside? Like fake sheepskin.
Fleece. Is that
yeah,
fleece?
Like fleecy stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that looks nice.
I don't know what situation in which I'm meant to wear this, right? Because it's too hot for inside, but then outside I'm wearing a coat because it's winter.
Your fresh spring day, maybe. I don't know. It's easier here because it's freezing cold, so I've gone for full thermal underwear. I'm in the full thermals today.
Are you wearing thermals right now?
Yeah, yeah.
What? You're indoors wearing thermals?
I'm indoors. I've got thermals. I'm quadro-layered from the waist up. I'm quadro-layered.
What?
Double-jumpered.
What?
You're double. It's freezing here. Yeah.
So you are.
It's minus six.
Right. Blimey. Is it minus six there?
Yeah.
It's a very tricky one. Getting. Basically, I've almost given up now on getting it right in terms of layers because you obviously. If you wear loads of layers and you're warm, then as soon as you get onto the tube or London stuff, so as soon as I get on the tube or get into the National, for example.
You're tearing clothes off and you look like you're in the middle of a perfume commercial.
Exactly.
It's no good.
But with the opposite smell.
Yeah. Yeah. Henry Packer's opposites. Yeah.
As soon as I bought this shacket, I was driving back from TK Maxx where I bought the shacket.
Mm.
And I listened to a podcast where somebody said that shackets are over.
Oh, just in time. Oh, no. Well, I've been really wrestling with shackets, Ben, with the idea of them because of the same thing, which is when do you wear it?
Yeah.
And also, can you put... Because I think I've... there's a grey area. There's a sort of different. There's a spectrum of there's a jacket. There's a jacket at one end.
Yeah.
That there's a sort of what was he called? The guy that wore the sheepskin coat who did the commentating.
John Motson.
There's a John Motson coat jacket at one end.
Yeah.
And at the other end, there's
naked Gary Lineker.
There's naked Gary Lineker, and there's an entire spectrum in between where shirts get more and more bulky. Then they're sometimes called, I think, called like outer shirts or
overshirt things,
overshirts or something. Couple of sometimes them, yeah. Called, yeah, and then they're called shackets. Like I've got a couple. Yeah, I think, when do you wear them, and can you put a jumper on top of them? Or is that mad?
I think that's mad.
I think you can't. So you can put a jumper underneath them. But then I'm putting a jumper underneath a shirt. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
I get really confused around those. But what I do for the winter is I don't wear... So I haven't got a down coat. So when I go out in the serious cold, for example, if I'm going to watch a football game, that involves standing outside.
That's maybe downtime, yeah.
Then it's downtime. So, but what I do is I just wear so many layers. So I wear T-shirt, I've got a Mourinho.
A Jose Mourinho.
I've got a Jose Mourinho. I've got a layer of Jose.
Rubber mask.
I've bought. I've got Jose Mourinho rubber mask, which I put on.
Fleece lined.
So it combats. Basically.
It's not very breathable, is it?
It's not very breathable. It's fleece lined on the inside. Also, he's giving one of his cold, steely glares. Fighting, fighting the cold with his cold, steely glare. So I wear a light wool thing, then another wool jumper, and then a big coat.
I think my thing is that I'm never standing still when I'm outside.
Yeah.
Also, really. Think still. I'm always moving, so I'm always kind of a bit warm.
I do a bit of spectating as well.
Yeah.
So you know, when you're spectating, Mike, that's when you really get cold, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. My hands split open when it gets really cold.
What?
As well.
Oh.
So I get little weird little kind of cuts that are just, they're just like boop, and it's just suddenly I'm bleeding. Not very quickly because it's quite sluggish in the cold.
Oh, God.
But Mike, I have that.
Yeah.
So because my hands get really dry.
Yeah.
And little micro cuts, micro paper cuts appear all over my fingers.
Usually micro. Occasionally they're a bit bigger and they just boop, and it's, yeah, yeah.
The other thing I get is really badly chapped lips. So I'll always put on some lip balm.
Keep them kissy-kissy.
Keep them kissy-kissy. But then I sometimes wonder, can I put lip balm on if I'm about to eat an outdoor Chinese meal, which I sometimes do on the...
An outdoor Chinese meal? Day.
Instead, in lieu of getting a big coat,
I've got
a spicy Chinese wonton or something.
When I go and watch football games, I've got a ritual now, which is I eat an outdoor Chinese meal on the way. There's a stall that sells Chinese food, and I get like a sweet and sour chicken Chinese, and I eat it outdoors while walking to the ground.
Nice, that's great.
Damn. Which is pretty fun.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah,
but it's weird if I've got too much lip balm on, then that sort of mixes in with the sweet and sour sauce, and it feels weird.
Just need a sweet and sour lip balm, don't you?
All I need is a sweet and sour lip balm. It's that simple, isn't it, right?
Anyway, I was wondering whether we should be wearing down coats or where to put a jacket. Shacket.
Yeah.
We also made some episodes in the first one we made.
Architecture.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a sort of punny way into this.
We're no stranger to being architects of our own chat downfall, are we?
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see what happened when we actually talked about architecture.
Solid.
Yeah. Decent.
The thing is, we don't actually want to know about the intricacies of celebrities' real lives and real hobbies, because it ruins it.
I wouldn't have wanted to know, or whatever, that David Bowie was, you know, collecting, like, monocles. Do you know what I mean?
No, totally. Exactly.
No, same.
Yeah, I call this my monocle attic. I come in.
That's good. That's
And sometimes pop stars, like mega pop stars, say something that like gives away that they're real or like more human, and I don't like it. So, for example, I remember Paul McCartney in an interview a couple of years ago saying that he liked watching Mock the Week.
Oh, God, no! Why?
And exactly. You shouldn't be watching Mock the Week. You should be sort of hanging out in a New York loft apartment with the ghost of Andy Warhol.
Shouldn't own a telly at all. Should own a projector, maybe. A projector that can sort of can only play special weird sort of 9mm reels from experimental Latvian movies.
Exactly.
My favourite bit is when it's called World's Worst and they have to go up and pretend to say something that you might say. That you might say in a lift or whatever. But
what's happened to your accent?
Do you think you've tried to scouse before, have you?
It went strongly West Midlands very quickly.
Yeah,
it went from Paul McCartney to Noddy Holder within about 10 seconds.
It hurtled south and east at incredible speeds.
Really hard to do Paul McCartney.
I think you could have got to Cockney if you'd done another 10 seconds.
And eventually Belgian.
Mm.
Obviously, everyone could do scouse.
I might make this, no problem here.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
They've nailed that. Yeah.
That was...
the Beatles have their own sort of accent, don't they?
You're going
straight into Dudley.
How do you do Paul McCartney?
So my favourite bit about...
I love this.
My favourite bit...
So what's the scout?
So Paul McCartney kind of sounds like,
So I was telling, telling Ringo the other day.
I've gone wrong as well.
I was telling Ringo the other day, actually, my favourite bit.
My favourite bit in rock.
What have you been to Wolverhampton recently?
There's a bit where they pretend they were in a lift, right? But it's something. I was telling Ringo this the other day, right? It's incredible because what they do is they imagine they were. I'll tell you what. You know, we wrote some pretty crazy lyrics like the stuff about the walrus and so on.
Yeah. But you've got to remember the Coventry was quite heavily bombed during the Second World War.
Coventry was so bombed.
Now, I tell you what, I actually did so much acid in the 70s that my entire vocal cords effectively moved to Coventry. That's why I sound like this now. But it's extraordinary. Imagine you're in a lift, right? The things that you would say, right? So that would be things like...
You're losing West Midlands now. That's amazing.
Be things like, I'd like to go to the fourth floor. I hope no one does a piss. That kind of thing, right? But this imagines what you wouldn't say.
Yeah, we're in Adelaide. We're safely in Adelaide. Admittedly, someone who spent quite a long time abroad, I think, and maybe went to an international school, but definitely Adelaide.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm going to work on my McCartney. And I'm gonna I'm going to come back with a McCartney next week.
I was sort of fairly confident that I could do a McCartney, but I think you've now dragged us all so far away from it that it would be impossible.
But you're right. The fact that Paul McCartney's into Mock the Week, that kind of thing is so. Mm. Yeah, you don't want them on the same level, do you? No. You don't want them.
He shouldn't know who Hugh Dennis is.
No,
he should not know.
And that's no disrespect to the great Hugh Dennis.
No,
exactly.
But we should live in different spheres.
So imagine David Bowie going, "Yeah, so up here we've got my
who's this? Sorry, Bowie."
So I don't just keep monocles up here, I also keep my Hugh Dennis prints. So these are a collection of different prints I've made of Hugh Dennis's face. Using different technologies. Oh, yeah.
Like David Bowie having a bunch of Hugh Dennis, like, monograms or, like...
Sorry, what's a Hugh Dennis monogram?
I don't know.
I heard Hugh Dennis on the radio. Oh, oh.
That's good.
Starman is Hugh Dennis. That's who the Starman is. He's waiting in the sky. The idea of watching Bowie like using a special cream to clean his monocles. So I use this special cream which I get online, and that means that the monocles. If you use a traditional glass windowline, for example, it actually the monocles become slightly faded. Whereas I use this special cream that I buy off an American man online, and then watching him bend over and polish it. That'd be so sad. I'm so glad we never had to see that.
But I think a monocle collection is the kind of whimsical, slightly off-the-wall thing that people would quite like Paul McCartney or David Bowie to be doing.
It's better than Mock the Week, isn't it?
Like, what if he was really into collecting, like, Yankee candles or...
What are they?
They're a sort of candle brand. Or, you know, if he was really into, like, getting as many Boots Advantage points as he could.
Or those bath bombs.
Yeah, but really into bath bombs.
He's always down Lush every Saturday afternoon. Down Lush getting another bath bomb, can't help himself.
There's a bath bomb!
I tell you what, finishing the production on Abbey Road made me feel pretty special, but I tell you what, it's that minty feeling, because I like over the mint and rhubarb, and when that starts dissolving around my crotch and legs, I feel so special, I close my eyes.
That's full Adelaide now.
The thing is, I don't like the fact that, like, Bon Jovi
now collects medieval axe heads. Yeah, I don't like that either.
It feels like your problem really is with celebrities collecting things.
Yeah, that even an obscure hobby.
Yeah.
It's still just a sort of a celeb sort of take on just collecting trains or any hobby. I don't want to know what they're up to behind closed doors. I want to imagine. I don't know. I didn't even want to be able to picture it. Do you know what I mean?
Tom Hanks, this is true, collects typewriters.
Yeah, typewriters. Great example. Great example. I don't want to know about that. Do you know what I mean?
How do you feel about Rod Stewart's train set?
Oh, he's a train set person, isn't he? Yeah. Well, I think the same, really. I don't want to know about that.
You want some mystique. You want to bring back mystique. You need to live in the pre-social media age, maybe, Henry. Mystique is dead, isn't it, largely speaking?
No, there's one person keeping mystique going, Mike. Enya,
yeah. See, what's Enya into? We don't know.
She lives in a castle, I think in a menage a trois.
You see, there you go. This is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But even the fact you think you're not sure.
Well, no, exactly.
That helps. That's how you do stardom.
Yeah, behind the walls of a castle, I'm imagining that they're sort of, you know, smoking opium and exploring new forms of pleasure. But the truth is, they're almost certainly just watching Repair Shop or whatever.
Henry, do you think we could build, in 2024, a bit of mystique around Mike Wozniak?
I think that's going to require quite a lot of backpedaling, isn't it?
You think you've given away too much?
I think we have borne all, haven't we, here in this place?
Yeah, because, I mean, even doing this kind of podcast this is the antithesis of mystique, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It really is, yeah.
Tragically.
Yeah.
Or is it, though, Henry, because I heard that Mike actually sends a butler that he's given heavy plastic surgery to do the podcast in his stead.
I've heard that rumour as well.
I've heard that we've never actually met Mike Wozniak.
I've heard that we've never actually met Mike. And there's no way of knowing if we have met Mike because the butler's that well trained.
Mm-hmm. I heard the real Mike lives on a Norwegian island.
I've heard that.
I think it's a disused oil rig, is what I've heard.
That's what I've heard.
Or it's a constantly travelling submarine.
And the only clue we've ever had that the Mike in front of us isn't actually Mike and is in fact a butler is just the way that he folds towels occasionally in between. Well, doesn't he, while talking? He folds a lot of towels.
Perfectly.
Swan, heron, swan, badger, swan, heron.
Praying mantis, swan.
I came across a hotel toilet recently where the toilet roll was like shaped into a little bow. So come off it, mate. This bow's not getting treated like a good bow should. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This isn't the end that any bow really should expect. Yeah. First rule of architecture. Get dem bricks overlapping each other, not on top of each other, mate. Come on. That's one of the Lego rules that you learn at the Lego stage, that I taught a child recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. My friend's child. You don't get those bricks on top of each other, do you? You get them overlapping. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, are we?
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
We know what you're talking about. Do people bother with that in Lego, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're just like messing about making a wall in Lego, you can have no strength at all if those are... In fact, I always say that a true stone bridge can be built without actual glue or grouting or polyfiller or any of the
staples.
Or anything that you think you would need to build a functioning stone bridge.
Is architecture one of those things where this might be a bit rude to architects?
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. It's mainly about wearing black polar neck.
Well, so let's imagine an architect, right? It's the black polar neck.
Yeah. Or turtleneck.
Turtleneck. Yeah.
Depending on how qualified you are.
Yeah. It's some kind of high-end specs made by a high-end designer.
Yeah. High specs.
Everything is high. High specs, high stool, high...
High stool count.
Yeah. All of the above. High stool count. High stool upon which you set up after your high stools. Upon which you perch with a lice. I don't even what you'd call it because I'm so underqualified. Slanty desk thing that you draw on.
Slanty desk thing.
Yeah. For your draftsmanship.
Beautiful clothes, kind of Scandinavian vibe in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly you want a Scandinavian spouse.
Yes.
Yes. Good. Yes.
In your incredibly uncomfortable, glassy, metal, really, really like pointy apartment that's incredibly, uncomfortable. Just sit down. There's a lot of screeching because everything is so aesthetic.
Yeah.
That I think the kind of, I think comfort has been sacrificed for aesthetic in the architect's home as I see it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of glass, a lot of metal.
Hard surfaces, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Granite.
A lot of granite.
Concrete.
A huge concrete block in our bedroom. Look, we love what we've done with our bedroom here. There's a huge concrete block that hovers about 3 feet above the pillows.
And if it were to drop, we'd die instantly.
We would die. And obviously, if we wake up in the night from a nightmare, for example, it concusses you and you go back to sleep again instantly. So it's practical as well. You have to slither out. You have to be pulled out. It's a bit like having an MRI scan. You have to be pulled out by
an orderly.
By an orderly every morning.
Yeah, that's the private setup, isn't it?
And I'm imagining a very sort of rare breed cat just wandering around this beautiful flat.
Oh, yes. Completely hairless, but only from the from the waist up.
That's right. is that waist measured?
As a cat walks on 2 feet, which this breed does, yes.
I don't think a cat has a waist, does it?
Well,
it's good. It's a very good question. Maybe it's got two waists. It's got two sets of legs.
It's all waists.
It's double-waisted.
Then I think everything in the animal kingdom has a waist. I think it's one of the qualities of being alive.
Okay.
Movement, respiration, reproduction, anger issues.
Having a waist. Can you use a belt to accentuate the waist? That's how you know.
This one can,
But which way round would a belt go on a cat? Would you put the belt horizontal to the horizon or vertical to the horizon? That's not the cat horizon, the actual horizon.
Is the cat standing on two legs or four?
The cat's on four. Well, I'd argue it's on two hind legs and front arms. I believe the front paws of a cat are the arms.
And they're merely lazy.
And
in that case, the belt is perpendicular to the horizon.
The cat horizon or the actual horizon?
The actual horizon with the buckle facing the centre of the earth at all times.
Okay, so you're going for a perpendicular rather than... Because the other way of doing it would be a belt that goes...
Right, over its nose and its ass.
Exactly, round. Exactly, which would be more on a human. That would be how it's horizontal to the actual horizon. Mm. So, yeah, imagine a cat, head on the left, tail on the right.
Or the other way around, just if you're on the other side of the room.
Or depending on which way. Yeah, depending on which side it went. Well, as we've discussed, the left and right is not a good system, but it comes to the same thing.
So we're imagining this life of an architect, and then or his or her desk. I think I've imagined it as a man, which is just a bit of sexism on my part. They're sitting at their big slanty desk. They're drawing some kind of mad-looking opera house or monument that's made of brass and all these, But in reality, it's just someone in a little shitty porta cabin going, oh, how many radiators do we need to put in this room? how high does the plug need to be? How many plugs should we put in this room?
So the dream is to be designing a sort of 800 foot high glass trombone that's going to sit in Kazakhstan
in
the middle of a roundabout.
In glory to the dictator.
For all time.
Yeah, that's right. Which actually plays, and when the wind pattern's right, it actually plays a note. Well, it plays the national anthem. Very slowly.
Well, the reality is probably a loft conversion. Yes, I don't think many opportunities for that kind of centrepiece type architecture gig, is there, I suppose? I don't know.
And I sort of assume that you spend your time at university, because architects go to university for ages, don't they?
It's like 7 years or something, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think it's all just to create this kind of illusion that they're doing something really exciting, when in fact it's 100%. Oh, should we put a double plug there or a single plug?
It's like, I think it's like everything whereby the career has a huge range within it. In the same way that a tennis pro, you can either be...
Here we go.
Well, you can win Wimbledon, to carry on the metaphor from earlier. You know, you can win Wimbledon, or you can be a ball boy and eventually a ball man. And a ball,
the most humiliating job of all time, the ball man. Hello, this is William. This is Britain's oldest ball man.
He's one of the Council of Ball Elders. Okay. And they choose the ball boys, and they select the balls as well.
And obviously, after the age of 70, they have to wear longer shorts, because otherwise the ball man's balls would actually hang below the short hem, which is why.
Well, last year, when they were wearing the normal shorts, and Federer served one of them, was the problem.
Luckily, thank God, the man had already done his siring and had many, many great-grandchildren.
But he was honoured to be aced by Federer. Yes, it's true. There's not a lot of architecture punditry work, though, is there?
No, there's Kevin MacLeod. He's hoovered literally all of it.
Yeah. Yes.
He's the Sue Barker of architects, isn't he? He's not a great architect. He's never designed fucking shit, has he? He just presents. He wears a suit with trainers.
I don't think he's an architect. I think he probably likes people to think that he is.
Okay. So what is he then?
I think he might just be a television presenter.
Okay.
But I don't know.
But I suppose, so like anything else, like, so you go into architecture, yeah, you think you're going to be designing a 4,000-mile-high eyeball for Dubai Harbour, whatever.
for a single sporting event.
For a single sporting event.
That is then going to need to be repurposed.
As a prison ship.
Yeah. With world-class ping-pong facilities.
Yeah, but it's actually, as you say, Ben, it's mainly just, because, yeah, every building has to have an architect, right?
Yeah.
And most buildings aren't that exciting. And it's generally about staircase here, radiators there. Yes, there has to be a toilet on every bloody floor. Stick the toilet there. And it's done with that level of interest that most people do most things that they do in life. Isn't it? It's just a job.
That they're employed to do. Yeah.
I've got a little trick now, which is if I draw the radiator here, I don't have to draw it more than once. It means the person in that flat.
It's just one really big radiator. It means the radiator does go through one flat into the next flat. But let them work it out, frankly.
I would give them a toilet there, but it's my lunch break and I just can't be arsed, so they just don't have a toilet there. But
it's just a cupboard that they can shit in if they want to.
It's just a cupboard and we just make sure we don't have a picture of a turd with a line through it on the door. As long as you don't do that, it's effectively...
I've given them two kitchens, two kitchens, and fuck them, no toilet.
Okay. But then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got, and what we've done is we've created a United Arab Emirates learning zone. It's a space that moves through you while you move through it. It's a library zone. There's so many. It's got the most toilets of any library ever built. It's got moving toilets. And there's a sound staircase.
It's a sound toilet.
There's a sound toilet where you hear the sounds of a toilet. Yeah, but like, yeah, there's like ultra sort of theoretical stuff, isn't there?
Well, it's it comes down to, Henry, the old tension between art and craft.
Ah, yes. If it's a teapot, can it be art? Isn't it? Is that the...
Yeah.
If you could do something with it. One thing that I will give architects is this. I think there are lots of rules that we don't think about, which must be there. Because if you've ever done any DIY... Mm-hmm. You'll realise that as soon as you start making structural changes to a property, you start messing it up. Like there are loads of hidden rules that you don't know that are there. Like in terms of like how wide a doorway needs to be, how high a corridor needs to be, and architects protect those rules.
Those things
for
have
us.
Got to match up in some way, haven't they? Right?
They've got to match.
Or shouldn't ideally be bigger than the corridor it's at the end of?
And these are the mystical rules, Mike, that they will not tell us.
But what I mean is, Ben, if you were to try and design a house yourself...
Easy.
It would be an absolute fuckfest because there are, and I guess these rules must be built around the basic proportions of the human body, basically, which is a door frame needs to be wide enough to get through, but not so wide that it effectively becomes a garage. You know what I mean? But all these things are like, these things have, and like staircases, because I've never actually done any major stuff, but looked at extensions and stuff before, and like staircase, and as soon as you've got to get the architect in, because as soon as you shift a doorway or a staircase a little bit, it basically becomes a death trap. Like everything is just inches away from being like, ow, I felt my foot, ow! We should have let Henry build the extension, ah! Call the neighbours, no, they're dead as well because of the extension, ah! We're all dying, ah!
Is that when you put in your Escher stairs?
Bluebell's somehow in control. Bluebell's in control of everything suddenly. The power dynamics of this entire family have gone fuck.
Bluebell, Bluebell, soft and gentle and wise and kind. Bluebell, Bluebell.
Bluebell. Sturdy paws and silky thighs. Bluebell. There she flies like a furry star. Classic and stylish like a vintage car. You're gonna go far. Bluebell, Bluebell, take me away on a magical trip. Bluebell, Bluebell, to the Milky Way on your fairy spaceship. Bluebell, I'll feed you meat biscuits upon the moon. We'll defeat a giant worm like in June. I'll see you there soon. Bluebellina and Bluebarama, Bluebalama and Bluebaruma, Bluebarata and Bluebarata, Bluebarata. You'll swipe off the faces of our enemies. You'll toy with the corpses of anyone who defies our galactic rule. It's cruel to be kind, but mainly to be cruel.
Do you know what I mean?
We should never have let him install a drawbridge!
So do you think architects are basically holding, you know, they are between us and chaos, basically?
Saving lives. So, yeah. Thanklessly.
Why has Bluebell got a joystick controlling the car? We shouldn't have given her a Bluebell joystick. Ah! She's driving herself to Euro Disney again.
She's so hard to buy for at Christmas.
She wants to eat Mickey Mouse, but he's too big. She doesn't understand how big he is.
Yeah, so essentially there's a lot of like, there's a lot of hidden work going on. It's like the dynamics of a sandwich, for example. It's not coincidence, Ben. Is it? It's not a coincidence that a baguette is exactly slightly smaller than the sound of the average puckered mouth.
The sound?
Size. Yeah. A circular mouth. If you circle, open your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If I was with you right now, Ben, I'd just have a fucking baguette in it to make the point. But yeah. When your mouth, you know, everything is proportioned correctly, isn't it, for us? And that works.
But I think
too.
You're saying something very obvious in a way that makes it sound like you're being clever, but you're just saying...
Welcome to Henry Packer. Yeah, re-spinning obvious shit since 1976, baby. But yeah, gone.
If what you're saying is that architects are good because they make doors that are big enough for a human to walk through, I think that's quite a low bar for a profession.
Well, it's not a low bar, Ben. The bar's just high enough for you to walk through comfortably, in fact.
So our next episode, ready yourself for these extra bits by putting on an iron helmet and letting down the drawbridge of chat.
Ooh.
It's castles.
Nice. Raise the portcullis of Bants.
Yeah.
And fill the moat with bonhomie. Do you want my naysay?
Please.
I really hesitate to give this naysay because it feels like the kind of naysay that someone does just because they want to be a bit...
Right. Can I say, if it's the King's Speech, we can end this podcast right now. Yeah? And I'm going, so...
Yeah, he stood up, Ben. Do you understand?
In fact, I'm going. Just the idea of it. I can't work like this.
Hang on, were you talking about the King's Speech, the movie, or the King's Speech, the King's Speech?
Don't get him started again, Ben.
I was actually talking about the actual King's Speech.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the movie, the King's Speech.
Either way, I'd be furious.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen neither. I've seen neither this year's real King's Speech, nor the movie.
Also, if it's a snowman, you can... It's not going to be the snowman, is it?
No, of course not. Okay, I'm not a maniac. That's magical. But I am worried about this. I think people won't like it. Okay. And I'm not just saying it because people won't like it. I went to see, for the first, I'd never seen it before. I went to the cinema this year.
Mm. Okay, I've got another one, which I don't want it to be. Do you mind?
Yeah, yeah.
The Sound of Music.
No, that's brilliant.
Okay, good, thank God. Okay, good. Carry on.
You've got to pull this plaster, Ben, because Henry's in a state of absolute panic.
Absolute state. The other one, I can't have it be, is Muppet's Christmas Carol.
No way.
It's Muppet's Christmas Carol.
No! Bonjamin.
I mean, this is
No.
This is from the mouth of a man who buys his Christmas tree from North Korean military surplus stores on the dark web
in exchange for crude oil.
Yeah,
right, and penicillin.
Really,
Bonjamin? How could you?
Do you want us to just bleed listeners? Are you trying to get us down to no listeners by 2024, except for obviously Jesse Plemons and Jesse Plemons' mum?
Madame Plemons.
Madame Plemons. The most fabulously eligible divorcee in Louisiana.
Played by Jesse Plemons.
Well, the only actor to play his own mum, isn't he? So that is the most Stanislavski you can get, the most method you can get.
Most people just can't get there. They kind of freak out at the last minute.
Freak out. But if you're not prepared to get there, you won't get those incredible supporting performances that earned him his name as a person that a lot of people don't know the name of, but who is crucial to Hollywood and the culture that we live in. Go on.
This is an unjustifiable position. Carry on.
I'll just give my rationale in 10 seconds. I would say I am a fan of the Muppets. I really like the Muppets. Mm-hmm. And I watched a lot of other Muppet stuff. Weirdly, this was like a sort of blind spot. Mm. I maybe have seen every Muppet film apart from...
So you're fine with the Muppets King Lear?
Yeah. The ones I haven't seen are... Oh, I hadn't seen or Muppets Christmas Carol. I don't think I've seen Muppets in Space either.
Muppets Midnight Express?
Muppets Lady Chatterley's Lover?
Muppets Philadelphia.
Yeah, all classics. There isn't a story you can't Muppet. I mean,
Muppets track. Apollo 13 would be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. I really like the Muppets, right?
Yeah, Muppets 9.5 weeks. Anyway, go on, yeah? Yeah.
So you've already seen Muppets Buddha Souffle.
Yeah. What was that, Mike?
A Buddha Souffle.
What was that?
Souffle. It's a French Nouvelle Vague film, Ben.
Oh, okay. Muppets Das Boot.
Yep. Yeah. 50 Shades of Purple. does that work?
That's the Gonzo Nasty, isn't it?
Yeah, the Gonzo Nasty. Yeah, yeah.
I like the Muppets, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And this film basically goes, what if you like the Muppets, but instead of them being really fun and anarchic and anything can happen, and wow, they're crazy, they're going to tell you a quite sort of turgid Christmas story.
What the fuck are you talking about? The greatest Christmas story of them all.
So they've combined the greatest Christmas story of all time with the greatest franchise of all time.
Yeah, but they haven't, though, because there's no anarchism whatsoever from the Muppets. They are on quite boring rails.
This is from a man who hides gravel inside his sprouts. Christmas Day.
Yeah. No 20p in the Christmas pudding at Bonjamin's. No, no.
No.
Find the gravel.
Just a grenade.
Yeah. Because so Garen, yeah.
So that's my take on it. I know I'm wrong because everyone loves it. And I'm not saying that anyone is wrong for loving it. I'm just saying personally.
This episode is going to have a trigger warning, mate.
Yeah.
I don't wrap presents because they're already wrapped. They're wrapped in the box. It's a box of tissues. It says tissues on it. So it's wrapped in the tissues box.
Well,
I knew this was dangerous.
Talk is dangerous.
But... Yeah, I mean, I disagree with you on all counts. But because one thing I do think I'd agree with potentially is that
there's not a laugh in the movie.
Careful. That's not true.
Okay,
the bit where they've put back in a scene which is really tragic. Which is him singing. It's a flashback where he's singing
with his girlfriend.
With his girlfriend.
Yeah, that is a nice scene. Yeah.
Because I was going to say that's the one scene I didn't. Because it's the most miserable scene. That's a scene Ben liked. I think that scene they maybe would have considered not putting back in because it's so grim. It's a bit jarring. Because it's just them going, the love is gone. The love is gone. It's just really sad.
Yeah,
and they don't get back together, and it's just sad. Yeah. But you like that bit, and yeah. There's actually there's no Muppets in that scene, is it?
I don't think there are Muppets in that.
It's a non-Muppet scene.
They can't have him wanting to fuck a Muppet, can they? That's the problem.
They can't. It's the, yeah.
It's the golden rule.
It's the golden rule.
Yeah. You can have Miss Piggy, you know, wrapping humans around her finger a bit and then, you know, leaving them for dust, but you can't actually suggest that that's happened. Not really. Golly.
Well, pretty grim. Were you not moved when the bit where Tiny Tim comes in and he's coughing or something, and his little stick and stuff? You didn't find that moving, Tiny Tim? I mean,
yeah, but that's not what I want from the Muppets, really. To be honest, I mean,
you want more slapsticks, sort of silly capers.
You want Fonzie in a New York style yellow cab out of control, right, in the streets of Manhattan? That's what
Fonzie.
Fonzie the bear. Fonzo.
Fozzie.
Fozzie.
Fonzie's from the Happy Days.
Fonzie's God. Right, I'm going to blame that on discombobulation from this shock revelation is what I'm going to blame that on.
So what are the, because I didn't really know anything, to be honest, I didn't really know anything else from the Muppets, apart from the Muppets Christmas Carol, really. What are the other films?
Well, the first film is called The Muppet Movie. That's the best one.
Is it good? What happens?
It's a superb movie. Isn't that the one where Kermit the Frog leaves the swamps of Louisiana to go and seek his fortune in showbiz?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it good, is it?
It's fantastic. Really
good are there stuff. Humans in that as well, or is it just Muppets?
Yeah, I think there are always some famous humans as well.
You know, The Muppets Christmas Carol has eclipsed in the sort of collective consciousness as eclipsed. I think it's the only film most people know these days.
I think that's partly why I don't like it as well, because I don't think it represents the Muppets very well.
Okay. Well,
it's weird, isn't it, that you don't like that story, seeing as you are basically a complete like-for-like analogue of the character Scrooge.
It's because he's... Bonderman has never believed Scrooge's change of heart.
That's the one bit of the... that ruins it all as well.
Yeah, bring it on, three ghosts, no problem, fine. I'll take it. You're not going to put the wind up me.
You see him as a good character, don't you?
He's a right-thinking, hard-working man.
And you think the change is going to be him finally becoming a serious bastard, actually killing some of these people and not just being rude to them. That's the ending you want.
This kid, Tiny Tim, who's got an illness where he'll die unless he eats an entire turkey. Pull the other one.
It's true. If anything, that's going to finish him off, isn't it, normally, think? Yeah. Also, they buy a turkey on Christmas Day. That's a bit unrealistic. That, Where do you get who's open on Christmas Day?
I mean, isn't the whole point of the film that you should have Christmas Day off and you shouldn't make your employees work? But yet he wants that on-tap turkey. That's
another example of a shop being open when it wouldn't be in real life in fiction is at the end of Bridget Jones, the film. I think it's... Is it New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve?
Don't know.
I can't remember. It's one or the other. I think it's Christmas Eve. Snowing. Mm. And it's like the dead of night, and then he just pops off to a stationery shop and buys a small notebook to give her.
Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Yeah, I can't remember why. It's to write the diary. Is it?
He's read her diary, and in her diary, she slagged him off.
Yeah.
Going, what an awful man he is. And then she thinks that he stormed off having read it, but in fact, he's bought her a new diary as if to go, we can turn over a new leaf.
Yeah. But they had to just have a stationery shop open like 11:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve.
Well, it was the Ryman's tie-in, wasn't it?
It was the Ryman's tie-in.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's right.
And at that time, Ryman's were going 24 hours.
It's one of the things that people don't notice until you watch it and look out for is that every scene in that film is set in a Ryman. Yeah.
Did you know, someone told me a fact which blew my mind. The character Mark Darcy in that film, as played by Colin Firth, is based on...
Jane Austen character, Darcy.
No, but... the characterization is based on a person that I assume either Helen Fielding or somebody involved in the film knew, who's currently, I'll give you a clue.
Is he a podcaster in a pulse-based banter threesome?
So if I say, obviously the character is he's a human rights lawyer in the late 90s.
George Clooney's wife?
No. Who has since become quite prominent.
No, not Keir.
Keir Starmer, QC.
Oh, what? What?
No.
Yes. And the Hugh Grant character is based on Jeremy Corbyn. Not that, but the Keir Starmer thing's real.
Is it real, or have you been propagandized up to your eyeballs there, Ben?
by the Labour Party.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who told you that? Was it a gang of half a dozen very attractive young people in red ties who came round to your house?
Young staffers.
Exactly.
No, it was told to me by my friend Tom Neenan.
Tom Neenan?
Would he lie?
Okay. Would normally trust Tom Neenan.
I don't have anything against Keir Starmer at all, but I don't think of him as like a sexy sort of brooding guy. Well, I'm looking at picture. I've just Googled young Keir Starmer, and I think I've just fallen in love. He's quite good looking, actually. Are you looking at what I'm looking at?
Every time I close my eyes, Henry.
Yeah, no, he's good looking. He's a very good looking, like swish looking, idealistic.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
And in a way, it would make sense that the Hugh Grant character would be sort of based on more of a Boris Johnson type.
Yeah. Okay,
does it? Sort of posh sod.
When my friend Tom put the question to me, who do I think is based on? And he said, think 90s lawyer. I was like, no. Clive Anderson.
Bob Mortimer. Well, thank you. That has cleansed the palate.
That has cleansed the palate.
Ben, after your horrifying naysay.
Oh, I'm so sorry about the naysay. I wish I did. I didn't go wanting to not like it.
No, but it's...
Let's just leave it there, shall we, Ben?
It's pissed us all off, so... I mean, if the listeners are listening to this, I'll be amazed, because I'm certainly going to have lawsuits to try and stop this going out. Michael be with
I've stopped listening. I can't expect them to carry on.
No, exactly.
Is there a castle in Portsmouth?
There are castles. This Porchester Castle would be the nearest sort of high-end choice, I'd say. It's all bases. Do you know what I mean? It's modern castles. Portsmouth is largely a military installation.
Is Portsmouth a military installation mainly, is it?
Well, that's the way I view it. I mean, there'll be people who live in Portsmouth who listen now and say that's complete nonsense.
But those people will know how to put a sort of deconstruct a rifle in 4 seconds.
Oh, yeah. While building a bridge with their left hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's an awful lot of military, loads of Navy. There's some of the others as well.
Is there that element in Portsmouth that you definitely get in places like Aldershot, where on certain nights of the week, it's just full of squaddies getting absolutely
hammered? Well, when I was a teenager, yeah, that was the thing. That was terrifying. That was completely... The era of when we were teens and we were trying to get into pubs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you'd go down to where sort of Gun Wharf Keys is now in old Portsmouth, basically, that kind of neck of the woods. Or maybe in Southsea, where there were, essentially, usually it was fine, but just occasionally you'd be going out at the same time that there'd be a horde of Maitlows and perhaps some Russian merchant seamen in the same venue, and it all got a bit scary.
What's a Maitlow?
A sailor.
And what's a Russian merchant seaman? And what's South Sea? What is South Sea?
South Sea is a part of Portsmouth that's right by the sea, which is quite nice and quite smart, but it's also got some...
It's not south of the sea, though, is it?
It's not south of the sea. It's north of the sea.
It's not south of the sea, though, is it? So why is it... This is Henry's Guide to Getting Your Head Kicked.
Henry's Guide to Getting Filled in by a Sailor.
No, excuse me. I want everyone in the pub to listen. Excuse me. I've just arrived here in a place called South Sea, apparently. How can it be south of the sea? South of the sea is France. Ah! Ow! Okay. You've accidentally kicked me in the face. Ow! Are you accidentally pummeling me in the ribs? Ow! Yeah.
You've accidentally harpooned me up the arse. Okay, well, it's north of the sea. It's north of the Solent. But it's south of the North Sea, or of...
The Irish Sea.
Or the Norwegian Sea.
What is the Solent? What's that again?
Solent's a bit of sea between Portsmouth and the Isle of Wight. Mainland and the Isle of Wight. We're struggling to get through this one, aren't we?
No.
But basically, yes, now and again, yes, there was that Aldershot phenomenon. Not very often, but now and again. But when it happened, it was terrifying. And there would be men in there, many, many, many scores of men. Like on shore leave, clearly looking for the big one, right? And you were not going to get in their way. I must have told you the story about the military police in the past, right?
Don't think so.
So that happened right on what's called the Hard in this old bit of Portsmouth. It's quite near where the
historic shipyard is, where they've got, you know, Warrior and the Mary Rose and all that kind of stuff. But there's a bunch of pubs there.
Called the Hard?
It's called the Hard, this area.
Just because everyone there is so hard?
Exactly, just, yeah. They're a bunch of very hard sailors.
It's literally called the Hard.
Yeah, from different ships. And clearly one gang were Royal Navy and one gang were merchant seamen from not Britain, right? So that was the problem. Right, that was enough. They were tanked up and they're all feeling tasty and they're looking for a fight. And we were walking through there, and we, as we arrived, this massive fight was, it was properly, it was in full fracas, and there were police there. So we sort of saw that there were police, and there were police cars, and there were sirens.
Mike, quickly, so just to create a picture of this visually.
That's what I'm trying to do, yeah.
You see, I'm just getting words from you. I'm just seeing words. I'm just seeing, like, letters.
Okay, sorry.
I'm seeing a font.
Sorry, I'm doing it.
What font is Mike to you?
Where's the military? It's that, you know, the font that you get stenciled onto military boxes?
A dog tag.
Yeah, it's that military
Henry, that's
font.
The nicest thing you've ever said.
That's the font that Mike talks about. It's danger. And there's a picture of a skull next to everything he says with a cross.
And it's got the time and the 24-hour clock.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Great. 00400 hours. Danger. That's what I basically hear when Mike's talking.
Sea of Marmara. 0800 hours.
Yeah.
And it's all black and white as well. If I do see it, even the font's in black, because it's all night goggle.
Nice, thanks.
Maybe slightly green tinged. No, just to create the picture of a naval fracas, as I see it, probably from an illustrator's point of view, because I'm very visual.
Oh, I see. No, there are no cannons. No cannons are involved. There's no
cannons.
This is not two galleons haven't drawn aside one another and have not opened up volley upon volley. Okay. There's no grappling hooks. We didn't see any grappling hooks, at least.
Everyone's got a hook for a hand.
Everyone's got a hook for a hand. No one's got any cutlasses between their teeth. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry to say. That should have happened if they'd done it properly. But they were trying to fight on dry land, which they're not trained for.
So in terms of swinging off the chandeliers, does that mean the chandeliers are on some sort of scaffolding on wheels that they can
have to put them up on a gantry before they start?
Yeah, exactly. And then you get on it and swing
it's
up.
It's very, very fussy. Yeah.
No, I'm picturing naval frack. I'm picturing like a big big cloud of dust, isn't it? With muscly arms coming out of it.
Oh, yeah, clang, yeah. Clang, absolutely. Bonk. Insert your Beano image, your Beano type fight. Yeah, just a cloud with some arms and legs coming out. Yeah.
And so who are you with, by the way? Because you said we earlier.
Just with a group of friends, like a small group of like, we're probably like 17 years old or something, trying to get served in one of the two or three pubs. We've probably been kicked out of the two down the road.
For fighting.
And for fighting and running an illegal craps game, exactly.
Because you were deep in your craps phase, weren't you? You were either shooting crap or talking crap or having a crap. That was your little motto for your gang, wasn't it? We're always doing one of the three. Yeah. The crap boys.
We're the crap boys, yeah.
Yeah. And we're having a craps time. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and you'd be dressed up as a crap, would you?
We'd be dressed up as a giant, I'd have been probably dressed up as a goose shit, probably. Yeah.
So green and phlegmy.
One of my mates would have been nice round sort of rabbit pellet, expect.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
There was Guano Jim. Guano Jim was, he was top
and constipated,
draw.
Constipated Alan, who never turned up.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nicely done.
Very
so you were all
done.
There. I'm picturing you, your little wiry little sods, though. But you are looking for action as well, aren't you?
We're wiry little sods in the late 90s, looking to party, and struggling.
Mine's a Smirnoff Ice.
Exactly, we're struggling.
Yeah,
we're struggling to even get anyone to go into an offie and buy some hooch.
Yeah,
you know, it's not happening.
And you said you'd already shagged a seagull before going out.
Well, you don't want to do that drunk, do you?
So complicated.
You lose the tenderness.
Yeah.
So we come into this fracas. It's in full swing. And then there's obviously a bit of us wants to sort of go away from where this is. But then we also see there's quite a lot of police. But then there's this confusing, jarring image of the fight is very active. Blimey. Multiple people involved. But the police are just standing there doing nothing. They're standing there. There's a couple of police cars who've got the lights on. There's police but they're just doing nothing. And it's so confusing. We don't know why, what... They're going to kill each other. What are you doing? What's wrong with you? But we're not saying that. We're just watching, confused.
I'm picturing these guys, their jaws. They would have had huge lantern jaws, all of these men, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah, very much. Yeah, there's tattoos of anchors swinging into these lantern jaws left, right and centre.
And rippling tattoos.
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
Yeah. And sort of the muscles are sort of have a glaze of sweat on them, don't they?
Yeah, very, and you really needlessly short sleeves despite the cold weather. I think it was sort of middle of winter. Yeah,
why they all wear ripped off trousers?
Yeah, all,
little shorts.
Some of them are just wearing sort of strips of leather tied together.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's an amazing scene in the night.
A little sort of jellyfish hat.
Well, because it's the '90s, little jellyfish hat with a which was like a '90s haircut, was a little floppy little blonde.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, yeah.
Curtains.
Little floppy long.
Yeah,
curtains.
Exactly. And that's good. Little and jellyfish. Then, yeah, there's the whale hats as well, because you get filter feeding. You also get filter fighting as well, where someone just runs along and fight with their mouth open and just scoops up loads of their opponents in one first swing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then they come out the other side, but they know they've been. They know, don't they? They've been filtered through.
But then we finally understand why the police are doing nothing, because the police have worked out that at least half of these guys are Navy and therefore could technically be outside of their jurisdiction, and they don't give a monkeys and they don't want the paperwork. So they've clearly just called their mates in the military police. And after we watch for a few minutes, a single Land Rover with military police on the blazing on the side steams him at incredible speed, like manages to stop just before it runs over half of the people involved.
With one of those huge machine guns where you have to feed in the magazines, just taking out everyone.
It's a better story.
Just feeding the magazines in.
Yeah.
Everyone's already dead.
Yeah.
You know, humbling bones now.
So it's job done. It's job done. And then a couple of the Royal Military Police, they jump out of this Land Rover. They just stroll into the middle of this fight, punch the first three people they see in the face, drag them into the back of the Land Rover. The fight stops completely. The Land Rover disappears. Everyone goes home. That's it.
Wow.
Blimey.
So they just set an example. They said, right, we're going to blame these three people from the Royal Navy. We know your Navy mate Lowe's. You come with us. Wallop in the face, in the back of the car, gone. And everyone's like, great, we had a lovely time. We had a fight. A couple of people got nicked. They'll probably get beaten up back at the base and get a sort of, you know, disciplinary hearing. Other than that, sod it. Let's go. Let's enjoy the rest of our night. Let's go and find a sex worker.
See you boys in the Falklands or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Russian merchant...
They'll have to, because no one wants to deal with those. No one wants to... We worked out sometime later, or it would have been explained to us, no one wants to deal with the wherever they're from, those
That's
guys.
That's a diplomatic
It's just too, yeah. too much paperwork, bloody work. Who cares? Yeah. So the fight is stopped.
Yeah.
Let the Navy deal with the Navy guys. Everyone's gone home. They've had their fun. It's done. So the police, as far as they're concerned, they're like, sweet, rest of the night off.
So it almost feels like this is a dance as old as time, isn't it? This is everyone
yeah,
knows
yeah.
the rules.
I think so. Yeah, they're having a scrap. Call the military police. Wallop. It was a stark sight. So the answer to your question, Ben, was yes. Yes.
What was the question again?
If it gets a bit sort of older shotty on a Friday night, kind of letting off steam.
It feels like we need a kind of version of the police force that isn't for the military, but that's just for like Saturday night fighting in town centres. Like,
oh, as if there's like sort of new social contract in some way.
Yeah, like the Lash Police, maybe.
The Lash Police. Maybe that's what those like awful kind of Metropolitan Riot Police guys would be useful, maybe. So instead of beating up protesters, they can beat up people who want to beat people up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's quite Thunderdome, sort of Thunderdome approach, or the Purge, you know, for people who want
Just
it.
Let them beat each other up. Is that the current system?
Yeah. And those of us who want to, you know, stay in and watch Slow Horses... Leave them to it. Yeah.
Bring down the metal curtains every night.
Yeah.
So everyone wants to be stuck inside watching Slow Horses is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And on the streets, it's just a total free-for-all.
Sounds like an election winner to me.
Yep. Starmer's Britain.
Except when you've popped out to get magnums for everyone for the Slow Horses night.
Oh.
But you've got mixed up because you've accidentally bought white chocolate ones. You go back, which no one likes, you go back to return them. But by the time you get home, The shutters are down.
Uh-oh.
Can I just say, Henry, you saying that no one likes white chocolate magnums is my equivalent of hearing that someone doesn't like Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Okay. All right, that's no accident, Ben. I'm spoiling for a fight and I want one right now. This is our version of an Aldershot brawl. Let's
do it. It really got your blood up, has it?
Really got my blood up. So, Mike, you and your friends, you were just standing watching this, were you?
Yeah.
Dazed, in a sort of state of wonder.
We didn't get involved. Anything like it. Oh, Christ, no. No, we were behind the police line.
You know, that kind of... The idea of that sort of brawl, that kind of fight...
We'd been killed.
Terrifies me.
Gone anywhere near it.
I mean, one punch to me would obviously lay me out, but also it would be something I'd probably never get over my whole life.
Oh, God,
I mean,
yeah, yeah. So
one
totally.
Punch...
Yeah.
But the But I've always had a kind of, well, touch wood till now, sixth sense for sort of, just a huge, really permeating cowardice that has seen me manage to somehow steer out of trouble. Like, because I've never been, touch wood, I've never been beaten up.
That's astonishing.
I know. You're right. that is
with respect.
As I say it, it doesn't sound possible. I have actually twice been randomly punched for no apparent reason, other than from, you know, I've been having a rant about something probably. or I might have been in the middle of an anecdote.
You were a mere 4 weeks into an anecdote. Your travelling companion.
Yeah, a man in a pub once just punched me for no reason. And also in Shepherd's Bush, I was once walking along and a man came up to me and punched me for no reason. But apart from that...
There's not a lot you can do about that sort of thing, is there?
In the head, in the face?
Face. Yeah.
Bad? Is that bad?
No, quite bad, but not bad enough to have a black eye or anything. Just as right.
I've been walloped a few times over the years.
You've been walloped?
It's not very pleasant.
It's not nice. You reap what you sow? I don't know.
If I have an altercation with someone in a pub,
yeah,
they spill my beer or whatever,
yeah,
I smile graciously, I say, don't worry, mate, don't worry about it. Next day, phone call from their auntie. It's your Uncle Ken. He's been eaten by dogs.
Basically, there's no sign of your Uncle Ken, but I've never seen our Alsatian look less hungry.
And its coat is so glossy.
Its coat is so glossy. It's also wearing Ken's coat. Look, it's too early to call him the new Ken. I'm not going to call him the new Ken, but...
I'm not trying to replace Ken. You understand?
You can't fully replace Ken.
But if I can teach him to drive,
yeah,
he's almost there.
Yeah, and to be honest, he's better at reverse parking than Ken already, and that's like we're only 3 hours in. I mean, there are certain advantages over Ken. Ken had two legs. Chomsky's got four.
Chomsky is it?
Chomsky,
as in Noam.
That's in Noam.
Castles.
Oh, yeah.
Castles. What would be your nearest one, Ben?
Yeah, Cardiff Castle.
Is that the one that's got those animal sculptures crawling over the walls?
Yes.
I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, they're very good.
Very good. Brilliant.
They've got big come alive at night vibes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're underrated. Yeah. They're under-talked about. Why isn't anyone talking about those? I love them.
They are good. I reviewed them on Google Maps.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Did you?
So, you know, I did my bit.
Of a castle?
Of a wall.
So if you just select the thing on Google Maps, you can just add a review on Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never really thought of that. Yeah,
I didn't know that was a thing.
What did you say?
It's got 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
In general.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it 5 stars.
Oh, okay.
And I've written, certainly one of the best walls decorated with statues of animals that I've ever seen.
So a little bit of sake bonjo crept in. you couldn't just be nice about them, could you?
I was being nice about them.
It's brilliant, that wall. And so what's inside? What's the castle like?
So Cardiff Castle is one of those castles where it's not actually that old.
No,
all the stuff you see people think of as being, it must be 1,000 years old. But
this
actually
was upgraded in 1979.
Well, it was built by a kind of rich Victorian man.
Oh, that's off on the way, isn't it?
Who just owned everything in Cardiff, called the Marquis of Bute, and he built all these nice things that were basically for his own...
pleasure. It's basically Victorian folly sort of thing, isn't
yeah.
it? It's,
yeah,
it's,
basically.
It's an industrialist with an absolutely crazy amount of money.
Yeah, it's exactly that. Because also there's, near me is Castle Corch, which you might have seen, which looks like a fairy tale castle.
Oh, yeah.
That's, again, just built by a Victorian man. The same Victorian man.
Right, yeah.
Does there still exist a Marquis of Bute?
I think so. I don't think it's this, obviously not the same one, but he's probably now a shady businessman who lives in Dubai or something.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I don't know, actually. It's worth looking up. But I do think Cardiff Castle is built on top of something that has been there longer, but what you can see is all quite new.
And is there like carpets and stuff in there? Is it like... Because castles are very stony, aren't they? They're just like very stone.
Yeah, it's... The thing I always think this about castles, they're very stony. Living in a castle would have been quite crap,
drafty.
I think.
There's no window panes. There's no, no plaster or like there's no skirting boards or plaster. Or,
no, but that's why you've got to go around with a sort of flock of Irish wolfhounds to snuggle up to, I think, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
And they act as draft excluders and sort of duvets.
Surround you at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they can even stand on top of each other, and just to the left, just to the right.
If needs be. If you can't reach the piccalilli on the top shelf, yeah, fine, no problem.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. It's I mean, wallpaper is basically just an Irish wolfhound exploded into a room, isn't it? In a way. Not literally, but isn't it? It's a sort of a warm...
People will try and do that to get the uncle out. Doesn't work.
No, the uncle's gone.
Once you put an uncle in, it's not coming out again.
It's not coming out. Well, not in the same way that... Not certainly won't be the same uncle. He won't be as avuncular.